The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. As Jesus was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a sizable crowd, Bartimaeus, a blind man, the son of Timaeus, sat by the roadside begging. On hearing that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, son of David, have pity on me." And many rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he kept calling out all the more, "Son of David, have pity on me." Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." So they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take courage, get up, Jesus is calling you." He threw aside his cloak, sprang up, and came to Jesus. And Jesus said to him in reply, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man replied to him, "Master, I want to see." Jesus told him, "Go your way. Your faith has saved you." Immediately he received his sight and followed him on the way. The Gospel of the Lord. There are, of course, a number of miracles that we see in the Gospels. Jesus curing people of illnesses, freeing them from evil spirits, raising them from the dead. And in three occasions, he cures a blind man. And in all three cases, there is sometimes a very blatant example. Others, it's very much an undercurrent. A distinction between being blind and having sight. What is the sight that he's talking about? Well, perhaps the longest story of Jesus curing a blind man is found not in the Gospel of Mark, but the Gospel of John, in which Jesus cures the blind man with a mud paste that he places on his eyes, tells him to go wash in the pool of Siloam. But Jesus doesn't go with him. So when the man washes and he gets his sight, Jesus has left the scene, and the man is left to fend for himself, for the most part, when he is brought before the authorities to be interrogated on who this person was who gave him sight. And what is demonstrated in this rather long gospel reading is a man who once was blind and now can see, perhaps had better insight as to who Jesus is than anyone else there who had physical sight. He must come from God if he opened my eyes. I don't know who did it. I was blind. Now I see. That's all I know. So he must be from God because someone couldn't do it if they weren't from God. He uses logic coming from his own faith to draw conclusions and come to a better sight with regard to Jesus than those who had the physical sight. On another occasion, in the Gospel of Mark, it would appear that Jesus kind of didn't quite do the miracle correctly when he cures a blind man and he says, "What do you see?" And the man says, "Well, I see people, but they look like walking trees." In other words, he can see, but he doesn't see clearly. And Jesus places his hands on his eyes again, and they are fully healed. So here we have a distinction of seeing and seeing clearly, clearly enough to distinguish what it is one is seeing. In this particular case, we have a man who's blind outright, and while he is blind, has a better sight as to who Jesus is. Jesus was with his disciples and a large, sizable crowd. But only one not only addressed him as Jesus, but Son of David. And that's a very distinctive address that he gives Jesus that obviously got Jesus' attention. Son of David meant something. Jesus, a descendant of David, therefore a descendant of a line of kings that God had promised would always sit on the throne of Jerusalem. So referring to Jesus as a son of David would be like referring to him as a member of the royal family, if not outright the reigning king. And so here's a blind man who could see and understand who Jesus is. And in the end, it doesn't say Jesus touched his eyes. He just simply said, "Go your way. Your faith has saved you." And it was that sight that the man had that eventually became manifested in the physical sight that Jesus gave him, curing him of his blindness. And we see these different examples of the cure of a blind man, not just the physical cure outright, but examples of what it means through the eyes of faith to be blind and be able to see. And we see various examples of that in many circumstances, not the least of which is a popular saying today, and one perhaps might say that these could be compared to people who see, but see people who look like walking trees. Here, people were following Jesus in today's gospel, but it was the blind man who recognized him as the Son of David. What do we often hear today being said of Jesus? Many people will say, well, I accept Jesus as a great teacher, but I don't believe that he's the Son of God. Some of you may have heard that. It's a very popular thing. We even had a founding father of this country who believed that. Many modern, I guess you could say, deists believe that. That Jesus is a great teacher, but he is not the Son of God, and we at least acknowledge him historically as that great teacher. And there's one well-known author who would take a strong exception to that. It's the author named C.S. Lewis. Some of you may have heard of him. He wrote the Chronicles of Narnia, The Lion, The Witch, and The Wardrobe, and the subsequent sequels and prequels to the stories of the Land of Narnia. But he also was a very prolific Christian speaker and writer. He actually died on the same day as John F. Kennedy. Not the same date, the same day. And of course, the news of Kennedy superseded the death of C.S. Lewis. But among Lewis's many writings is a collection of his talks that have been put together in a book called Mere Christianity. And he takes issue with that kind of sight of Jesus that only calls him a great teacher. He says, I'm trying here to prevent anyone saying the really foolish thing that people often say about him. I'm ready to accept Jesus as a great moral teacher, but I don't accept his claim to be God. That is the one thing we must not say. A man who was merely a man and said the sort of things Jesus said would not be a great moral teacher. He would either be a lunatic on the level with a man who says he is a poached egg, or else he would be the devil of hell. You must make your choice. Either he is a madman or something worse, or this man was and is who he says he is, the Son of God. And again, that shows a great insight in light of a popular thing that is said about Jesus today. A man who said, I am the bread of life, eat my flesh and drink my blood. I am the light of the world. I am the Son of God. I am the resurrection and the life. He's either a madman to say such crazy things, a deceiver to say such outlandish things under the guise of he is God, in which case he is a devil, or he is who he says he is. And we see that tremendous sight that C.S. Lewis had with regarding our faith. And I certainly recommend reading Mere Christianity. If you read anything else of his writings other than the Chronicles of Narnia, Mere Christianity is a very understandable set of talks and writings on various aspects of our faith, and I highly recommend it to you. But it does show his sight as a man of faith, that saying Jesus is merely a good moral teacher is like saying, I see people, but they look like walking trees. He has a sight to see Jesus clearly in light of what he says and says. He is who he says he is. If he isn't, he's either crazy or evil. In the same way, we see other examples where people would often ask, where is God? Because they don't see God in various circumstances. And there perhaps are people all across our country who are asking that very question after the terrible events that happened yesterday in the synagogue in Pittsburgh. Where is God when we see such tragedy? And yet, as people of faith, we see in our own history, whenever people have experienced suffering, especially suffering for their faith, it doesn't indicate an absence of God. It is for us, with clear sight, proof that God is present, because the suffering Christ is closest to his suffering people. And God is closest to his people when they are suffering. A great story connected to that. It's not in the scriptures, but it's a traditional story of the time when the church was under persecution under the Emperor Nero. Terrible persecution after he blamed them for the fires in Rome. Christians were being fed to the lions, burned at the stake, crucified, executed in droves. And to protect him, people were taking St. Peter out of Rome. He was going along the Appian Way out of Rome. And the story goes that he saw a vision of Jesus walking towards Rome. No one else could see this, only Peter. He saw Jesus walking toward Rome, and he said, "Lord, where are you going?" And Jesus responded, "I am going to Rome to be crucified again." And there's where we get the very famous phrase of Peter, "Quo vadis," "Where you go, I will go." And Peter turned around and went back to Rome, and it is there he was eventually arrested and crucified himself, but crucified upside down. He didn't see an absence of Jesus in a suffering people. He saw the presence of Jesus, the presence of the crucified Christ, never closer than he is when people are suffering for their faith. And so while others in their blindness might say, "Look at all the suffering in the world, that must mean there is no God," for us who come to worship a Redeemer who died on the cross, with that sight of faith, we say, no, that is proof that there is a God who suffers with us, and a God who gives us strength to endure. So we keep the people of that synagogue in our prayers as they continue to reel from such a terrible act that they suffered yesterday. And we come as people to ask the Lord to bless us with that gift of sight. We who have physical sight, to ask God to give us that spiritual sight so that we see Jesus not merely as a good moral teacher. We see him not just as a rabbi, but like Bartimaeus, we recognize him as the son of David. Like the blind man in John's gospel, we draw conclusions from our faith that see he must come from God. Like C.S. Lewis, we recognize him as a man who is who he says he is. And ultimately, we come to worship Jesus with full sight of faith as the Son of God.